This is Diamonds Are a Bird's Best Friend. A DCU Comics verse, Robin Comics, Superboy Comics, Batman Comics verse fanfic, written by Suzuki Blue and read by Rena Jenkins. The story is rated PG-13 and contains the pairing Tim Drake, Connell, with additional tags for alternate timelines, fluff and crack, crack treated seriously, cryptid Bat Family, cryptid Bruce Wayne, and not cryptid Tim Drake. Quoting rituals. Superboy does not understand boundaries. Tim does not mind. Brand new superclones' very skewed understanding of both this situation and also social norms. Also of, like, money. And the entire diamond industry. Connell loves Tim Drake. Good significant other, Connell. Bisexual disaster, Tim Drake. Fake cryptid Tim Drake and real romantic Superboy. This is the first story in the series, a fake cryptid and a real romantic. Readers and authors notes after the fic. Superboy has existed for about 6 months at best. 5 months, 2 weeks, and 6 days. But who's creepily spying on their fellow heroes and vigilantes? Not Tim, for sure. And was created in a lab full of extremely niche genetic experiments whose creators very rarely bothered making any of them look human or even particularly human-adjacent, which is probably why he has some weird ideas about certain social norms. Tim assumes that's why the guy just decided to drop a very annoyed Catwoman on him out of nowhere. Anyway.
The fuck?
He says. Though through his vocoder it comes out more like an incoherent screeching of the damned. That being, well, the whole purpose of the vocoder and all. Superboy grins down at him from the nighttime sky, all bright and sunny and weirdly adorable. For being both a lab-grown weapon and a guy built like a brick house who is technically capable of disassembling Tim down to his individual atoms with, like, one little tap and about 2 seconds worth of thought. Not that Tim has been creepily spying on anyone, or said anyone's Cadmus files again. Also, Superboy might not even know he can do that yet, so it's probably not a smart thing to mention right now. Or maybe just ever, considering. Hey, man, Superboy greets cheerfully. She was breaking into that big museum a couple blocks over. Figured you'd care about that. As opposed to, like, breaking into some rich asshole with insurance's penthouse. Figured you would not have cared about that. The museum also has insurance, for the record. Selena informs him sourly, as she makes an art of getting off her unceremoniously roof-dumped ass and adjusting her crooked goggles, while looking like being on this roof was her idea to begin with. Because, well, Selena. And has not properly sourced any of the artifacts in their new Bast exhibit. I know, that's why I was on my way to the museum to keep an eye out for you. Is what Tim does not say, since Robin is supposed to be a splintered aspect of a mysterious, all-knowing city spirit given human form, and not just like a really dedicated normal teenager surviving on semi-legal energy drinks and conspiracy board detective work, and the occasional occult ritual to summon the Batman. What he does do is jerkily cock his head and say,
"Pray,"
and let his vocoder horribly mangle the word into a sound usually best described as unholy avian screeching. Superboy beams, which is not a normal reaction to hearing Robin's voice. Selena just rolls her eyes. But Selena, of course, knows about the whole really dedicated normal teenager surviving on semi-legal energy drinks and conspiracy board detective work and the occasional occult ritual to summon the Batman thing. Like she's never summoned the Batman for anything. She's. Or Bruce, as an 8-year-old Dick Grayson had once upon a time decided to randomly dub him. Tim still can't call the eternal and unsleeping Eldritch protector of their city that, without feeling like he's going to spontaneously combust. But it is, in fact, a thing that the Batman will answer to. Might as well call Pennyworth Alfie, though. Jason was even worse at names than Dick. Tim is pretty sure. Yeah, Superboy says, sounding still more cheerful and floating down the rest of the way to the roof to land lightly in front of Tim. Selina eyes him in a way that would end very badly for anyone who is not functionally invulnerable. I mean, she seems cool and all, but I don't know. Figured the bat wasn't big on cats in his territory. And also the criming. Definitely also the criming.
How find Robin?
Tim asks. Superboy doesn't have enhanced senses or X-ray vision, as far as he knows, and Gotham's old school and dubiously safe architecture is full of lead anyway, so... Oh, I've been stalking you, Superboy explains. Tim blinks behind his unblinking mask and feels several ways about that statement. That's what you bats all do when you're interested in somebody, right? So I figured you'd like it if I did it back. Tim feels several ways about that statement. He says. It comes out a discordant twittering that Superboy seems to take as encouragement from the way he brightens. I got you something else, too, he says eagerly, jamming a hand into his jacket pocket, and then pulling something shiny out of it and holding it out in offering. Tim takes it on reflex, which is a stupid reflex, but Superboy just looks so excitedly hopeful that he does it without thinking. It's a crystal clear and faceted rock, with an unmistakably heart-like shape to it, and it sparkles brightly in the smoggy Gotham moonlight. It's not a particularly big rock, but it'd be a pretty damn big gemstone. Which Tim is noting, because if he didn't know better, he'd think Superboy had just handed him a perfectly flawless 50-carat diamond. But that would be insane. Because a diamond this size and quality would be worth a good $5 million, if not significantly more, and... I made it, Superboy says, his face turning a little pinker than the cold night air up here should account for with a half-Kryptonian, even one whose full power set allegedly isn't in yet. Like, I mean, I sat in a volcano and crushed some carbon and cut it with my TTK so it'd look nice, and then I just thought maybe... You'd like that kind of thing? Maybe? Birds like shiny stuff, right? And, like, you're kind of bird-ish, right? Okay, then, Tim thinks, as he stares blankly at the custom-cut, custom-crafted diamond in his clawed gauntlet, then glances at Selina, who is no longer annoyed and is now visibly repressing laughter. He has absolutely no idea how he feels about this situation. He says, then sort of just disappears $5 million of shiny stuff into the tattered folds of his cape and inside his hidden utility belts, because Superboy seems really invested in him liking it, and also he apparently literally made it, which Tim is just gonna need a moment about, maybe. Superboy's only existed for 5 months, 2 weeks, and 6 days. Exactly how long does it take to learn how to telekinetically cut a diamond? Much less one this flawless? Like, percentage-wise, how much of his life so far did Superboy just spend on learning how to make him a 50-carat heart-shaped diamond? Just mathematically speaking and all. Tim really doesn't know how he feels about this situation. No. Superboy grins, which is cheap bullshit. Tim unfortunately knows exactly how he feels about that grin. "You like it?" Superboy asks excitedly, leaning in way too close. And Tim immediately panics while Selena is too busy cackling to save him from himself. Absolute asshole that she is.
"Shiny!"
Tim intones raspily, cursing his whole stupid life. And Superboy beams at him. "Cool," he says. Tim suffers. "You know, usually jewelry is a more traditional gift than loose stones," Selena mentions slyly. And Tim suffers even worse and hisses sourly at her.
Oh, you don't have to wear it or anything," Superboy says, looking flustered. "I just thought maybe you could use it to decorate your nest or something. Or, if that's not weird, I mean, I don't know what kind of things you actually keep in your nest, obviously. I mean, I don't even know if you have a nest. I just kind of assumed you would."
"Nest,"
Tim repeats blankly, feeling increasingly mortified. Selena is back to cackling. "He doesn't have a nest. He's a normal human teenager with cameras and skateboards and barely any occult nonsense at all in his bedroom, which is not a nest." Not that Superboy has any way to know any of that, but still. Yeah? Superboy says, jamming his hands back into his pockets and turning pink again. "Just if you like it, I mean, obviously. I don't know, like, what kind of stuff you nest with, or what you, eat, or whatever. Or it would have gotten you something a little more useful, but I don't know, I just thought maybe you'd like it. Like, more than flowers or whatever, you know?" Tim is a very prepared person. That's how he keeps up with rogues and metahumans and aliens and demigods. He has contingency plans for everything. He does not have a contingency plan for Superman's 5-month, 2-week, and 6-day-old clone deciding to develop a crush on one of the Gotham cryptids and give said cryptid a diamond about it. That was not a thing that was on his radar. Ever. Maybe Superboy is just trying to make friends, Tim tries to tell himself. Superman is one of the closest things that the Batman has to a friend, so it makes sense if Superboy wants to make friends with Robin. He probably thinks he's supposed to, right? He doesn't know that much about the world yet, and he was built to follow in Superman's footsteps, live up to his example. But it's heart-shaped. And also, Superboy just explicitly mentioned flowers. And he keeps blushing. And Superman has definitely never given the Batman a heart-shaped diamond that he made with his own freaking hands. Tim is pretty sure that this is not Superboy just trying to make friends. What even is his life right now? Seriously, what is it, and how did it happen?
"Why?"
He intones in chalkboard screeching / feral animal tones. Because Superboy just gave him several $1 million in heart-shaped rock after telling him he's been stalking him because he thought he'd appreciate the attention. Tim's previous fumbling experiences with awkward high school attempts at dating did not prepare him for being romantically stalked by an incredibly powerful half-alien superhero slash teen heartthrob who would just give him a cat burglar and also several million dollars via what is essentially his version of a handmade gift. They did not even remotely prepare him for it, in fact. Steph hit him with a brick once and tried to figure out his secret identity a couple of times. That's about as close as he's ever gotten to being stalked down and presented with a custom-made diamond. Jesus Christ. That's a real thing. That's just happened to him. Killer, Superboy says, lighting up again. Tim feels like a flustered idiot, and kinda wishes he did have a nest somewhere, because if he'd ever thought ahead to setting up one of those as some kind of decoy or pseudo-safe house or something, he could absolutely just drag Superboy back to it right now and just... Never mind. Oh god. He's going to have to explain how he caught Selina to the Batman after this, isn't he? She's going to explain how he caught her to the Batman after this. And she's going to tell the truth about it. Fuck, that's going to be mortifying. Explaining Steph was bad enough, and the Batman still didn't seem to understand when he was done, and still just kind of treats her like another Robin, to the point that Tim still isn't sure the Batman actually realizes that he and Steph are actually different people. Which Tim personally thinks is very unfair, because according to Dick, the Batman absolutely does understand what it means when Talia al Ghul calls him beloved, and he definitely let Selina summon his human aspect for a high society date night last Friday. So, like, there's no reason he shouldn't understand this kind of thing. This is what Tim gets for deciding to personally make sure Gotham's local protection spirit didn't get himself warped into a local vengeance spirit in his grief, instead of just selling his soul or something to somebody to resurrect Jason and joining the after-school photography club. Like, that would have been much less embarrassing than explaining the situation to the Batman is gonna be. At least he probably won't mistake Superboy for another Robin. Probably. 50-50 shot, maybe. Tim should maybe teach Superboy how to summon the Batman later. Like, just in case. It'd just be for the best if he did, probably. The Batman gets stressed when a Robin can't summon him. Especially after what happened to Jason. It makes him... Freddy. Specifically, it makes him the Eldritch Protection Spirit version of Freddy. Which sure is an experience. In Tim's experience.
Superboy!
Tim says, resisting the urge to pull out the diamond to look at it again. It's really not the time. Superboy blushes again, and Selina sniggers into her claws. Tim is in the world's weirdest possible romance novel right now, he's pretty sure. How does a cryptid protector of a city like Gotham flirt back, anyway? That's really not a concern Tim took into account when he was crafting his version of the Robin persona. He was worried about looking like a smaller and brighter and more distracting version of the Batman. Not potential bird cryptid courting behaviors. Normal birds dance, or offer food, or preen each other, he thinks. Like, for their courtship behaviors, he means. Those are the basics, anyway. Tim considers trying to convince Superboy to let him run his clawed gauntlets through all those wind-blown curls he's currently sporting, and feels the urge to just go lay down for a week or 10. Or 20. Or
forever, maybe? Just all of forever? Forever would be good right now. He'd die of even worse embarrassment dancing with him, he's sure. Though maybe, like, they could go get Batburger together or something? Just like normal people, kinda? Right. Yeah. The normal thing. That's what Robin would do. And totally equivalent to a handcrafted, telekinetically crafted multi-million-dollar diamond, too. God, please don't make him have to dance to convince Superboy he's reciprocating this whole diamond-making situation. Tim cannot dance, and he is not about to learn. Well, he can waltz, technically. Very, very badly, though. There is absolutely no way that his waltzing skills are going to make Superboy think he's into him. Actually, they might just chase him off altogether. So, like, are you doing anything this weekend? Superboy asks, looking hopeful. Tim tries to figure out how to do literally anything here. Just anything at this point. Anything but waltz, he means.
Hunting.
He says, and seriously considers just leaving Selena to do her own thing and break into that stupid museum all over again. Maybe if he drops her off at the GCPD, though, they could just, like, not have to worry about her robbing the Bast exhibit blind? At least not tonight, anyway. Technically, it isn't properly sourced, which the museum should absolutely know better than anyway. So maybe taking Superboy to Batburger and letting them learn their lesson the hard way wouldn't be the worst idea. No, going to Batburger would definitely sell out the whole not actually a cryptid thing. And that'd be an issue. Superboy is 5 months, 2 weeks, and 6 days old, and Tim barely knows him. He can't out himself like that just because the guy's romantically stalking him with cat burglars and multi-million dollar diamonds. That's just not a good idea. Also, a terrible precedent to set. If an admittedly tempting one. Do you want, help with that? The hunting, I mean, Superboy offers, and Tim despairs. Oh, do robins hunt in flocks? Is that a thing, little birdie? Selena asks with a smirk. Tim shoots her a dirty look. He knows she can't see it through the mask, but it's the principle of the thing. He says, resisting the urge to flip her off. Cryptid protection spirits don't flip off the criminals, even if it's tempting. Really tempting. Really, really tempting. Really? Superboy says, grinning widely at him. Cool, yeah, okay. I'm free whenever. I've got the whole weekend open. Tim wonders if Superboy specifically made sure he'd be available all weekend before asking what he was doing this weekend, since the guy obviously didn't know his allegedly eldritch schedule. Then he decides not to wonder that anymore, because if the answer is yes, he's not going to be able to be normal about it. Like, at all. Not after the catnapping and romantic stalking and custom-made diamond. Then he wonders what Superboy thinks a robin would nest like instead. Just, he could set something up, probably. Like, he could figure something out. And it could be useful to have an established nest or two around. Definitely would be, if he could drag Superboy back to one sometime. Like, he could. That's all. It's an option. Like, a thing that he could do.
Come, sunset,
Tim tells Superboy, who turns pink again.
We hint.
Okay, Superboy blurts out eagerly, grinning wider and half floating in obvious excitement as Selina muffles snickers. Yeah, sure. Sunset's good for me. Any sunset. All the sunsets. God, he's so cute. And so ridiculous. Tim really wants to take him to Batburger and also stalk him even more than he has already. Like, stalk him all the way onto the first scribble notes of his design levels of stalking. Maybe takeout and a fake nest decorated with a telekinetically crafted diamond will do, though. At least for now. The end. Athas Nets. Concept of this AU. Look, the Batman may be an eldritch inhuman cryptid, but he still needs an emotional support sidekick. And Tim Drake still doesn't have any consistent adult supervision in his life. Kanye Shrug. Based off this post of mine, and finally finished thanks to a little nudge from Kay. Tumblr post by Suzuki Blue, October 20th, 2023. I kind of want to write a cryptid Batman AU where Clark has explained to Khan that the Batman is a terrifying eldritch horror given human-ish form, actually, and Khan is therefore under the impression that Robin is going to be into weird shit like being brought damning evidence and deadly criminals and dangerous problems to solve, and also will appreciate being occasionally stalked by a half-alien clone. The Bat cryptids stalk everybody, right? So it's fine, it's like their love language, Khan figures, as he's collecting a bunch of random shiny trinkets to leave out for Robin like he thinks he's a fucking magpie or a crow or something. And maybe also some nice pebbles to cover the penguin angle, just in case. Just, like, stuff he might like to decorate the cryptid nest Khan is assuming he has with. Khan is fully correct about Robin appreciating the weird shit and shiny trinkets and being reciprocally stalked, actually. Although now Tim has to figure out how to explain to Superboy that he is actually just a normal human teenager who just decided that his local protection spirit needed an emotional support sidekick before it could get corrupted into a local vengeance spirit. Though he does like the shinies, please don't assume this means he doesn't like the shinies or wants a normal relationship with, God forbid, boundaries about not stalking each other or whatever.
Reader's Notes. This podfic was recorded as an ITPE 2024 treat for K-Burb. Last year you gave me a treat, this year I give you a treat. You said you like Cody Wan or Tim Con, and I have not done a Tim Con in years. So thank you so much to Suzuki Blue for having blanket permission to Podfic. There are, I believe, three other stories in this series, a fake cryptid and a real romantic, and I have not gotten around to them yet, but they are on the agenda for eventually. We are making no promises about when anything might happen because responsibility leads to depression. Anyway, K-Burb, I hope this made you smile. Suzuki Blue, thank you for writing Freaking Out Tim and Glorious Ball of Oblivious Sunshine Con. The concept of this AU is absolutely delightful, and I want to roll around in it. K-Burb, I hope you also want to roll around in it. And everyone else who's listening, thank you for listening. Thank you for journeying with us through Tim's inner monologue as he utterly despairs. And blue screens, and Selina laughs at him. As a side note, ITPE 2024 is the informal Tumblr podfic exchange. We are no longer on Twitter. Please check out the rest of the collection and join us next year because podfickers like making presents. It is the most wonderful time of the year. Thank you for listening. Hope you enjoyed it. Have a nice day.